This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, who offer awesome beer-related experiences, including brewery tours, walking tours, and events packages. They also own and operate Sydney Beer Week, Sydney's biggest and best celebration of beer, running from the 20th to the 29th of October. It's bound to be another great festival this year, with events ranging from Wildflowers Waratah Beer Release, made from 100% New South Wales ingredients, to, of course, Sessionable's own live podcast at the Royal Albert on the night of Monday the 23rd. For the full program, hit up sydneybeerweek.com.au, and for more info on Dave's, check out daves.com.au. All right, on with the show.
Sessionable.
Welcome, everyone, to Sessionable. I am Adrian, your host, and I'm here with Liam.
G'day, g'day.
And Tom.
That's me.
And Brad.
Hey, guys.
Brad's
welcome,
here.
Welcome back,
Brad.
Great to be out the house. Thanks.
Yeah. Where you been?
What's been happening, mate?
I've been procreating.
Procreating?
Like, for the last 2 months?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No wonder you look so tired.
So, it's a tough job. Someone's got to do it, though.
So a new addition to the family then,
indeed,
Brad?
Indeed, yeah.
Congratulations.
Six weeks old now, and yeah.
So how long till we can replace you on the podcast?
I don't know.
18 years, right?
I'm not too sure if I'm really here or not. It's not great for your social life, but it's pretty good for your liver. So
I can imagine. Yeah. How has the beer drinking been in the last couple of months?
Well, I think every time I've been to a bar, Tom's been there. Like, literally every single time.
I was going to say, I've seen you out and about quite a bit, so it can't be too bad.
He's like your personal bartender.
So I think I've been out 4 times in 6 weeks, and Tom's been there every single time. So yeah,
been sprung every time.
How has it been keeping up with all the new releases and events?
Has there been some big FOMO?
And all that?
Definite FOMO. I mean, I did make sure I got along to the Stave Shenanigans launch, which was one that I was really looking
forward
to.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah. I think everyone got drunk that night. It was IPA day.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's right. IPA day happened to coincide with the latest release of Gunna Matter as well, so I went to bid a few for that before as well. So I've been quite tactical in where I've gone and when I've gone. So yeah, I didn't used to drink a lot at home at all. I still don't drink a lot at home, but maybe I'm buying a couple more bottles here and there than I would have done previously to have at home. So
I guess it's a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't drink a lot at home either.
I wouldn't call having a child cheap, but the money's going somewhere possibly a little bit better spent. Maybe I don't know. Depends who you ask, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Around this table, we might get the wrong answer.
Before we move on, what beer are we drinking, guys?
We're drinking a beer from Portland.
Yeah.
Portland, Oregon. It's from the Commons Brewery. It's an urban farmhouse. So it's, I think it's just a nice saison.
Saison.
This is a brewery that I visited on my trip. And I actually had the one beer I had there because it's actually like just across the road from Cascade. And we went there and they have this awesome brewery. And this is the one beer I had when I was there. And they also have a fromagerie in residence in their brewery. So it was really cool. But so their big things, beer and cheese pairing. So all the, not sure, they're definitely well known for their farmhouse sales and that type of thing. I'm not sure if they do like your IPAs and stuff as well. But this is the one beer I had when I was there and I really enjoyed it. And just happened to come across a couple of bottles.
Yeah, nice.
It's really light. It's peppery. It's just, it feels like a really accomplished farmhouse ale.
Yeah. Really nice sort of saison yeast character.
It's really light though, isn't it? Like, light in body. Yeah.
It's 5.3, so it's,
it's really tasty.
It's really tasty. So, we've got a couple of mini news items to tackle. Nothing huge and major, unless, like, something happens between now and, when this gets released. But
very likely. Probably will.
Yeah. Some big craft brewery will get bought by...
I imagine the Commons Brewery will get bought.
The curse continues.
Oh, God.
It's been a fairly quiet week in the beer world, I guess.
I think one of the big things, and this is a topic we've touched on before, is the Rabbitohs, the rugby league team, had a craft beer bar pop up at ANZ Stadium this week. Yep.
Was it Lord Nelson?
It was Lord Nelson was supplying the beers.
Was it just a once-off for this game?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think that's a awesome...
Great.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That is really cool.
Which is something we've been...
Is there
It's their big birthday for the Lord Nelson Brewery, isn't it, at the moment, I think?
I think so. I think they're doing a lot of celebrating at the moment.
Yeah, they've been around for a while. I think the latest Stone and Wood Forefather beer is going to be after Blair Lord Nelson, Blair, which is really cool.
Who also got, I forget what they call it.
Like Legend of the, or like...
Of the CBA Awards.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, yep.
And also got Legend of Sydney Craft Beer Week Awards last year as well, so...
Well, that's cool.
He's an absolute character. Have you guys ever met Blair?
He is a bit of a legend.
I haven't.
Yeah. He's a
We should get him on the podcast.
Yeah, it'll be a monster episode. Yeah,
that sounds good.
Yeah, he's not afraid of a chat, but that'd be an awesome idea, actually. Yeah, we should do that.
That's really cool. I think Three Sheets is a great stadium beer.
Mate, if I could get Three Sheets at a game.
Three Sheets was the first ever legal beer I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. The day I turned 18, I was outside the Lord Nelson when they opened.
I thought you were talking about like first proper commercial beer you had, and all of the rest was what you were brewing in your bathtub or something.
The first beer I legally bought
was a
pint of Three Sheets from the Lord Nelson.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And even I'm not sure what the menu was, but if it was just Three Sheets, that'd be great. But even if they had Old Admiral, I would have been. Oh, yeah.
So how do you think they got around all the contracts then, the watertight contracts at the stadium?
It would have been possibly in one of the boxes or function centres or something like that, and there might have been some way around it that way.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been a general public bar, I'd imagine.
Right, okay.
If it was, it could have been essentially negotiated like as part of a sponsorship deal or as part of these watertight contracts, there's probably ways around them. Like,
it's a lot of work. Yeah. So that's why I was asking if it was a one-off thing or if it's a more permanent thing. Because
if it's a permanent thing, that'd be...
I think either way, it's amazing we got a local brewery in serving beer.
I hope that's a trend that continues.
I mean, we're seeing it happen more and more often, which is a good sign. Whether or not it'll continue, whether it become a permanent thing, we'll see.
Well, I mean, someone's giving it a chance, which is awesome, I think.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
What it says is there's actually probably demand there, right? You know, we talk about it because it's a subject that we feel quite passionate about, and we want to be able to drink what we want to drink when we go to these sports.
Yeah, because I think we all love sport.
We're all sports fans, right? But it also says that it's not just us hardcore niche of beer nerds who are, you know, desperate to get our hands on something that we
like.
Something
with some flavour, something, you know, decent to drink.
There's actually more of a demand out there, which is good news.
Yeah, you go to, like, what was the last Newtown Jets game they had, and they had, what?
They did a festival for it, right?
They did the Beer Food, Boatman, Footy. Wayward, Batch, all these breweries, Young Henry's, all pouring beers at Newtown Oval.
Adrian and I went to the Community Cup.
Yeah.
And they had
a Young Henry's bar there.
Young Henry's.
That's what a sports game should be like. It should just feel like a festival atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It should just be a beer festival where every match.
I mean, I think I remember it was pre-season for this one's.
Yeah.
We went to
to the Henson Oval.
Henson Oval and
for the intra club. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was sort of it was everyone just brought their own beers along. But...
And we sat behind the boys from Batch, and they just had an esky full of tinnies of West Coast and American Pale. Yeah.
I think the most mainstream beer I saw someone drinking at the ground that day was a Stone and Wood.
Yeah.
Besides that, it was all...
It was funny, leaving it, you see crumpled up cans of Yulee's Norman.
The bin was overflowing with long necks from, Batch, Quilly the Bowman. Yeah.
It was pretty funny. It was good. Yeah, and I think that is something that's starting to become more of a thing. I've said it many times. I hope it becomes a permanent feature, especially for me at the Swans. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Yeah.
We'll keep our ears to the ground and see if it happens anywhere else.
Well, you see, on that note as well, Colonial's releasing a Bombers Kolsch.
Oh, really?
Like a black and white branded, because with the Essendon, so they have a... We talked about it on the podcast before.
So they're the official beer partner.
Beer insider partner of Essendon.
Of Essendon.
And then the Port Melbourne brewery is the official pre-game, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah.
Supporters venue.
Yeah, nice.
And I just saw on social media this week they're going to be releasing some red and white Kolsch bombers called the... Bomber cans.
Nice. That's really cool.
That's good news.
Yeah.
And I guess, with all these craft breweries or independent breweries popping up at more mainstream spots, it kind of ties into the recent figures of 4X Gold, dropping down quite a bit. I think 4% was it?
It's been dropping, yeah.
Consumption-wise?
Because it was only a few years ago that it was the number one beer in the country. A few years ago, it was a big deal. It overtook VB briefly.
And then VB put their percentage back up and got it. But then also, on top of that, there's been the rise of Great Northern, which is massive. And it's massive probably in more rural and coastal areas, I think.
Yep.
And it was interesting. I was talking to someone about it the other day and how... So Lion Nathan's just come out with their Iron Jack,
which is their Great Northern,
which is, not a great branding exercise.
That's interesting, actually, picking up on Great Northern. How have they managed to worm their way into,
I think it's just really
old school brands.
Price point, marketing, and branding. And apparently, it's got a massive uptake with women because its branding's just really simple and clean. Mm. And unlike Iron Jack, which has, the... Swagman on the front,
It's kind of an ungendered.
Ungendered. Yeah, is a good way to put it, Adrian? Thank you. And I think that's got a lot to do with it as well. But I was talking to some people from the States who were here, and they just came back from Cairns, and they were like, Great Northern's brewed up in Cairns, is it? And I was like, probably not.
It's not.
It's probably brewed Abbotsford or something, right?
But they're making it. It's the far North Queensland brand.
Yeah,
right?
pretty much. And she was saying, the lady I was talking to was saying that everywhere she went was like everything was Great Northern. All the pubs were Great Northern. All the furniture outside the pubs were Great Northern.
It's interesting because Great Northern was a thing when I was up in far North Queensland years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a brand. Yeah. It wasn't as super popular as it is now, but it was Great Northern was around when I was living. This was in 2011?
Yeah. I'd only heard of it in the last 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, likewise, yeah.
So when they took it nationwide, I
think. Yeah, it must have, yeah.
But it's one of those ones, it's like every time you walk past a BWS or something like that in the supermarket, there's
on special.
There's a floor stack of Great Northern, and it's I don't know, how much is it, $40 a case or something? I don't know.
That Iron Jack, that's doomed to fail. I think the marketing is awful.
So what style of beer is it?
Same sort of thing, just
clear pale bottle. Lager.
Almost like Cerveza style.
So very much like Great Northern.
Well, because Great Northern was originally, that was their Corona competitor when they lost the rights to Corona.
And then they had
4X Summer Bright was...
Summer Bright. I remember a sales rep coming in when we were working at the Pump House, Tom, and he was saying, this is going to replace your Coronas. And their big sales pitch was, you'll save so much money because you don't have to put a lime in this one.
Wow.
The important stuff.
Yeah.
Capital's Brewing's online now.
Yeah. My mate Wade, who was on the podcast
a couple of months ago.
Just opened up this week, I believe.
I think they started running some beer through.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, really exciting.
I'd like to go down there and visit them.
Yeah, definitely. Next time I'm in Canberra, I'll make sure to check it out.
Always an exciting day for any brewery once they start
brewing
in their own yard.
Yeah, I saw Wade and the guys in Adelaide for the CBA or IBA or CBIA conference, and they were shopping around for a candy machine. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Good. I guess that they've kind of made a splash with their cans, very well branded cans.
I really like their cans. Yeah,
it's no surprise that they want to keep that going. Other piece of news, I guess more generally. It's good to see that the beer community has been getting behind the Yes campaign of the marriage equality plebiscite.
Yep.
And, say what you will about the plebiscite. I mean, it's probably...
It's not even a plebiscite.
Yeah.
It's an informal postal vote.
Yeah.
We just need to make this happen, right?
Yeah.
It's probably a massive waste of money, but it's good to see that people are...
So how the brewery's been trying to make the most of it. Getting behind it.
So Wayward... running a MIDI for marriage equality thing.
They've also put up a competition. If the vote goes through and it's yes and marriage equality is legalized, I think Wayward are offering up the brewery for a wedding for one lucky couple for free.
Yeah. I think they're going to do it anyway, even if it doesn't go through, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can pick up badges from the brewery.
Yeah.
Say yes. Vote yes. And if you snap yourself... Yeah, with a hashtag, which I can't remember what the hashtag is, then you can take that into the bar and you get your free MIDI.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of pubs are getting behind it as well, encouraging people to vote.
Yeah, which I really like that they're becoming sort of an informal voting area where they help you get enrolled and make sure you're enrolled. I'm not sure when the cutoff is to be enrolled.
It'll be before this episode comes out, so... Hopefully everyone who's listening has enrolled, is enrolled.
Or at least check your address and make sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You've moved.
Yeah.
Which I did this week.
I've done as well. Yeah. Sorry, that is absolutely.
Yeah. It's very and important. I think we'll all be voting yes. Yeah.
I will if I'm allowed. I don't think
you're allowed. Yeah.
Probably not.
Well, although, I mean, you're just as Australian as some of the members of parliament at the moment. Yeah.
too right. Nice. Too right.
Nice reference.
Yeah, we'll leave that subject for another podcast.
Why don't we
take a quick break?
Take a quick break, pour another beer, and then get to today's topic of conversation.
Awesome.
Sessionable.
So, does anyone want to introduce this next beer?
We are drinking a collaborate between three different breweries. Cloudwater from Manchester, England. Lost and Grounded. And Verdant. And this is the Laurel and Ardy, which is a cloudy Belgian IPA. It's with Ardennes yeast, Laurel, Simcoe, Centennial, Hallertau, Blanc, aroma hops.
Could you call this a Manchester murky?
You possibly could, yeah.
And I guess like Cloudwater from Manchester, they're well known for their cloudy
juicy
beers.
Yeah.
I guess it's in the name.
They're known for their fucking awesome IPAs is what they're known for. Every time I have one, I'm just like, yeah.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. These guys are the shit.
This one's really good as well.
So we thought with our last episode being a discussion on a specific style and something, that's something we're going to start talking about a bit coming up. And drinking this beer and sort of the prevalence of this new style of IPA, we thought we'd talk about beer styles a bit and sort of what they are.
Yeah, what makes one.
What makes one. Do we need beer styles?
I think we do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't think we need them, but I think they're useful as a guide.
Yep.
To whom?
To people that want to brew beers. Not necessarily to people that are drinking it, because...
To consumers? Why not?
Well, to people that are consuming beers, it's handy to kind of have a quick reference to what you're expecting, but it's also, you know, you just have a beer and sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't.
But don't you think the more information you give a consumer, the better they can choose what beer they want to have?
Yeah, sure.
And there's nothing worse than buying a beer and going... This is not what I expected.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm kind of in two minds on this. I think you're right. There is that kind of use for the consumer. If you identify a particular beer you like, you know what style group it belongs to. You can then go in and talk about that particular style and find other beers around that similar style. But I also feel like maybe that constrains people a bit as well. They become fixated on that style and think that's the only thing I like. I'm not going to veer outside of that particular style.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. And I think it is important to kind of, as a consumer, to go outside your comfort zone. And if somebody brews a beer that is completely weird and different, like a cloudy IPA, for example, which is a pretty new style or a pretty innovative kind of style.
Definitely the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
at the moment, right?
Give it a shot. Yeah. You might love it. You might hate it.
But if you hate it, then you know you hate it, right? Like that's the.
But I mean, if you're having one of these beers for the first time, and if your server's serving this beer for the first time, they'll go, "I don't know what the fuck this is."
Mm.
But hopefully you'll still try it.
Yep.
I mean, this beer, for example, just looking at the can, doesn't say anywhere what style of beer it is.
Mm. It's true. It's actually really hard to find the name of the beer, which is why I paused and struggled for a minute.
Yeah. But I mean, knowing Cloudwater, you know there's a good chance it's going to be a hazy beer, right? But it doesn't actually say that anywhere on the can.
No.
And if I walked into a bottle shop, I don't know if I'd buy that because I don't know much about it, but if I bought it from the brewery or something, and I think this was bought online, where you probably have a descriptor, you might know a little bit more.
Mm.
But I mean, and this is the thing that I've noticed, especially with hazy IPAs, and it's not so much over here because it's quite a new style. But in the States, a lot of the times they won't tell you it's a hazy.
It's just an IPA.
Yeah, yep. Like you'll have three IPAs on the board, and two of the three of them are hazy, but it doesn't say that anywhere.
It doesn't even say New England.
A lot of places didn't.
No. But I think it's almost like they expect you to see that the brewery's from, you know, Vermont. And you're like, or from New England.
Just because you're from Vermont doesn't mean you make hazy IPAs.
No, I know. But I don't agree with it. I think
they're from Cloudwater. The Cloudwater's from Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They're just known for... but they don't just do hazy beers.
I think this particular style, or this new style of cloudy IPAs, are well known for their kind of tall cans with really vibrant art So I guess if you see a tall can so with much... vibrant art in the on the shelf,
I'm calling bullshit on that.
Yeah,
I don't think that
most of them. I've seen
when
I
the like style that. Description eventually comes out for a New England IPA, it's going to see you know it's not going to say
the can,
often served
not.
In a vibrant can.
But I think
it's more just about the breweries that are canning and doing these sort of packagings.
Yeah.
Younger breweries are a bit more experimental, and they just tend to be the breweries who probably have a go and make a New England IPA.
Yeah, but like you wouldn't release a beer without a style description if you didn't think that has some sort of connotation when people see it on the shelf, right?
Oh, it's definitely a design choice not to put a style on there, right?
Yeah.
I actually think, I mean, Cloudwater in particular are in that kind of enviable position where everything they brew kind of has a market already, so it's hard to come by this stuff.
Oh, look, and for me personally, so I like this style of beer, and I love Cloudwater, and if I saw anything from Cloudwater, I'd buy it just because the reputation that I have or everything I've had from them has been amazing.
So the chances of somebody sort of, you know, leafing through a bottle shop and seeing a can of that and going, oh, I wonder what that is, I don't know if I'm going to like it, oh, I'll put it back. Well, the chances are they wouldn't have found it in the first place because this stuff kind of already has a home.
Yeah. Okay.
So they don't have the same pressure to be that upfront with what they're doing. Yeah. But I agree, though. I actually think it should be clearer. It should be clearer.
Yeah, I mean, I only really found out what the style was from the internet.
Because all it says on the can is, this is a hoppy Belgian hybrid with a modern twist, which could be anything.
Yeah, could be the type of hops.
Yeah, it could be, but also the Belgian hybrid.
Could be a wine, I don't know.
Yeah, is that a like a triple, or is that a, you know, a quad, or is it a...
But they've obviously done that on purpose, and they want want people to know, not go into that beer with preconceptions, I'm assuming, right?
Which is another, I think, both a good thing and bad thing about styles, is that preconception. I know a lot of people, for example, hear the word wheat in a beer and automatically are off it because they don't like Hefeweizens.
Well, half the sales are drinking a wheat beers.
Yeah, but they, you know, they associate that sort of banana clove, bubblegummy flavour of a Hefeweizen with wheat beer. And that, I think that hurts other wheat style ales.
Look, there are some people, and I don't know why, who hate cloudy beers and hate these hazy styles of beers. And if I was one of those persons and I walk up to a venue, I don't feel like I should have to ask about every single beer if it's hazy or not.
No, you know, you should order it.
I think one of the other things about styles, especially with the new styles like hazy IPAs, is because there's no style guideline that exists for this beer, brewers from other parts of the world see a beer, but they don't really know what it tastes like. So they try to emulate the style, and it looks the same, but it doesn't taste the same.
Yep.
And people criticize them for that. So if there was a guideline saying this is what it should taste like, then it would be clearer for other people who want to emulate that style.
And look, the New England IPA in Australia is a great example of that, right?
Yeah,
I agree.
You know, when I was in the States, people were really asking about, you know, what's the beer scene like over here? And I said, look, we don't get everything and we're still young, but we're very aware of what's happening around the world. And beer nerds in Australia know about these styles of beers, and we're just starting to be able to get our hands on them. And this is a case in point of something, you know, and these styles of beers, you want to be able to, like, I see these styles of beers generally as being beers that you drink from the source.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the great things about this style of beer is the emphasis on freshness. Like more so, I think, than any other style of IPA.
Yeah.
The breweries for these beers are so... They emphasize the freshness so much, which is great. Like, on this can, it does say, hops fade fast, fresher is better, drink before date on base of can.
Yeah. Have any of you guys ever had a slightly older New England IPA?
I don't think I have.
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm just thinking, I don't think I have either.
No, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how that...
Majority of the ones I had was when I went on my trip, and most of them were had from the brewery.
At the brewery, super fresh,
I think there's one Cannibal I bought, which I drank 2 weeks after I bought it, and even then I'd noticed it had started to fade.
Yep.
But, you know, in saying that, this has come from BrewDog's site, is that right?
Yep.
And they're doing some amazing turnaround times and shippings and stuff like that.
Yeah, because they air freight everything, and it's not cheap, but it gets here really quickly.
It's unbelievable, actually. You've actually just stolen my beer recommendation.
Oh, sorry.
So might as well elaborate on it now.
No, go for it.
You can get UK beers here in incredible turnaround time now.
Couple of days?
I don't understand how they do it. Honestly, I don't. I mean, you can order something.
It's all courier,
you can order something from the other side of Australia and it'll take 7 or 8 days to get to Sydney.
Yeah.
And yet you can order something from BrewDog and
you can order something from Sydney and it'll take
7 or 8 days. And it will literally be in 2 days.
That's insane.
Be there in two days, which is incredible. So, I mean, you don't have to worry about the condition of beers coming across from places as far flung as the UK now. If you get the right supplier that's got the right distribution business, then, you know, it's not cheap, obviously, to ship this place.
What's
this stuff
for
in
a case?
I think it was around about, I think, $60. I heard $60 for the case. For the shipping. Maybe.
Yeah. Well,
that's actually pretty cheap.
If you're buying,
I'm not sure,
12 or 24 cans of that.
Don't hold me to that. I'm not. Yeah. It might have been £60.
Mm. Okay.
But, so like $500 then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But But if you want to try this stuff, then you've got to, you know.
We used to order from BrewDog all the time, but it'd take a while.
Ages. And then the whole reason I stopped drinking BrewDog beers is because it was, I talked about it a lot as well. But you know, like, their store has amazing beers, and if I can buy stuff like this and it's fresh,
it's great.
I'll pay for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I was originally saying was, because of that, we've seen all these New England IPAs and these murkies and juicies, whatever you want to call them, but we haven't really had any here that we could try, or brewers could even try. Yeah. So it's a classic example of what you're saying, Adrian, one of those styles where people are just making it up. And I've got to be honest, I've had some pretty shit New England IPAs.
I guess some all right ones, but there's been some bad ones.
It's the same thing that happened when black IPA started becoming popular. There was no style guideline back then. Even now, there is
a black IPA style
guideline. It's a vague guideline.
It's
different.
It's IPA specialty
it's
black.
It's different
IPA.
Between the BJCP and the Brewers Association. And we should make that clear that we are using the BJCP for our style roulette, but the Brewers Association have slightly different guidelines. And that's the one that professional brewers tend to use, especially for competitions.
No, American brewers tend to lean more towards
BJCB?
No, the BA.
Brewers Association. Yeah, yeah, I think the Australian, the CBIA uses the Brewers Association definitions as well.
The CBIA uses Brewers Association, but then what's the other one that do during GABS?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the AIBA.
Yeah, there's two different awards, isn't there?
AIBA, I believe.
Which are the bigger awards,
BJCP.
Right?
Oh, okay, yep.
When I did my Cicerone, all the Cicerones BJCP.
Oh, really? Okay.
The Sydney Royal is BJCP. So it's a bit of a there's a bit of a split.
I guess that's one of the other
I've got more experience with the BJCP than I do with particularly Cicerone than I do with the BA. But I think the BA is, I think, a lot quicker to add new styles.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So they'll come up with a hazy IPA sooner than the BJCP then?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll go into it a bit later, but I was actually reading, I did a bit of research today about how a new style does enter the BJCP.
Okay.
So we can talk about that a bit later as well. But yeah, so I think this is a beer which I think needs some sort of style guideline. And there's lots of different people doing lots of different ways. I was reading about Omnipolo, and they're using oat milk, which is like a...
Oat milk?
Yeah, so it's basically like a dairy replacement. So like almond milk, right? But you can buy it in 2-litre packs from the supermarket.
And so they add it... Do they add it just for haze or for flavour as well?
Well, it's apparently the same process of... It's very similar to adding the oats as a lot of breweries do.
So it'd be mouthfeel as well.
Yeah, mouthfeel and haze. But you don't have to get the spent oats out because it's basically just...
Oh, because it's just the starch.
So it's basically... Wow. I saw a photo. I read an awesome homebrewers article about them using it, and the photo was them. It looked like they had about a pallet worth of these 2-litre Tetra packs of oat milk, and they just... pouring
interesting.
They do some crazy shit, those Omnipolo guys. They really do. Really out there.
I guess the other thing is, I think it's important for brewers not to be so strict about sticking to styles, and like, it's good when people do brew to style and do good examples of that particular style, but you can't innovate without pushing the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's just, there's always going to be that mix. There's always going to be the brewers that are true to style breweries.
Yep.
Black Font's a great example.
Yeah. Australian brewery.
When Warwick was at Little Brewing Co. was also another great example of a brewing two style beers.
Yep.
But then you need that. Australian brewery is another one. And Neil, who was head brewer, was another one who's very old world in that thinking. But then you need the younger people and the other more experimental guys, the Docs, the Tim from Hot Dogs, and, you know, a whole bunch of others.
Moondog.
Jade from the Weedy.
The Bucket Boys brewers. To experiment, and it's a balance of power. You need both, right?
Because I think because you only get these new styles with the experimentation, but then it's when they get perfected and then brought out and you know, brewed to consistent quality and Yeah, and it is a constant sort of tug of war, but it's not. It's good having both sides, for yeah. sure.
It's like politics. You need a left and a right.
Yeah.
All you guys kind of work in the industry. If you think for a minute, if styles were removed and you were no longer allowed to talk around styles, how much more difficult would it make each of your jobs?
It would change it. I, in addition to styles, I also tend to use kind of descriptors on how beers taste
yep.
when people ask me about them. Because if I say, oh, it's a lager, what does that mean? Or it's a pale ale, what does that mean?
Yep.
You know, I'm going to say it's a pale ale, it's a bit fruity, it's a bit bitter, it's a bit dry, it's a bit malty, yeah. you yep. know, it's a bit mm-hmm. whatever.
It's got some of these flavours. It's, yeah, you know, yeah. It's crisp.
Which yeah. kind of gives an idea of what you're going to expect from beer. Whereas, yeah, if I just say it's a pale ale, nobody knows. Like, most people would have one pale ale in mind, and it might be completely different.
Yeah,
to that.
Is it a Sierra Nevada pale ale? Is it a
Cooper's pale ale?
Yeah, is it a yeah. Stone and Wood?
Is it a Fat Yak? Like they're all
they're all pale ales. Like,
yeah,
so it would definitely
less so, but yeah.
Removal of styles would definitely make it a bit different. But I think you can still get around that. You can still convey what a beer tastes like without saying the style.
But it,
you know what? It'll make you better at your job.
Because, I really think it would, yeah.
Because if you go, oh, yeah, it's a pale ale, that, like you said, that tells you shit. But if a customer goes, oh, what's this taste like? And you go, oh, well, this particular pale ale, it's a pale ale, but this particular pale ale shows blah, 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 blah. And it makes you be more descriptive.
Yeah.
I remember one of the first times I met Ray from Cicerone, who we interviewed on the podcast, and he said one of the worst things you could ever do as a bartender, and someone goes, oh, what's this beer like? And go, oh, it's good, I really like it. Because that tells a customer nothing.
Yeah,
yeah. I try not to get into whether I like.
I catch myself doing that. Yeah. It's like, it's
a hard trap. It's a hard trap to avoid.
Especially
if you do really like it.
Also, customers will be like, "Oh, do you like this beer?"
Yeah, or what's nice is it's another one. It's like,
I know, and it's like, but like, also, my job nice is you? Like, you know, for the most part, I'm going to tell you every beer is nice. Yeah. Well, my job is to sell that beer.
I'm honest. Like, I'll be like, oh, look, this particular beer is not my favorite, but I don't like this particular beer because of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I noticed that. I ask you whether you like stuff as well, Tom.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest.
Because we know each other and we have a pretty good idea of what our palates are.
And I think that's different. About it, though. Yeah, that's different.
He is kind of cagey when I ask him his opinion on stuff. And I don't know.
At work? Or
Not necessarily when he's working, but... If he's at the
Tom,
Royal Albert.
Tom with opinions is KG. Which Tom are we talking about?
I'm confused.
No, I'm going to back Brad. I think
never seem to go over the top in your enthusiasm about something. You'll never really bag something out either. Sometimes you can
tell when I go over the top in my enthusiasm that I am being genuine.
Tom can be very diplomatic. I think that's what you're trying to say.
He's also a pretty bad bullshit artist. He's like, yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's great.
but also, like, on that, I won't lie about it, but I will, you know, I might not. If I really don't like a beer, I'm not going to tell a customer, oh, I really don't like that. I just, that's not, you know.
I think it is different when you are talking to people you know as well.
Yeah, and like, I know your taste, Brad, I know your taste, Liam, and yours, Adrian. And so I know, like, I've got a good idea of whether you'll like that beer or not.
Yeah.
What do you think of this beer?
I really like this beer.
It's great. It's really, really good. I don't know how they get... this is what... Sometimes I find that New England or hazy IPAs, they can go way too down the sweet line.
I was just about to say this with this one. I actually like it. It's got quite a dry...
Yeah. All of the Cloudwater stuff kind of has that kind of dryness, that hop bite to it as well. That kind of that bitterness that I think you need in an IPA to make it a real good IPA.
Yeah.
But it's not over the top either.
It's not bitterness for the sake of bitterness.
It's not like a West Coast IPA that can be really bitter and dry.
But it just gives it that other side, so it's not just pure sweet.
It's also not the juiciest of the style, and it's more of a pale, isn't it? Is it a pale or an IPA?
It's 8.2%.
I take that back.
Wow, it does not taste like 8.2%.
Yeah, and what I like about this beer is it's got yeast character, which is not something you normally want from these things, because normally you get that real yeasty bite, which is not nice.
Yep.
But this doesn't have that, but it is a Belgian yeast strain, and you can definitely tell
some
that.
Of those esters, and
you get that, but it doesn't have any of that really bitey yeast character.
Yeah, one of the other things with the recent Australian attempts at...
Australian.
at the hazy style has been, there's been a lot of hop matter... in the beer that's given it this kind of raw bitterness, harsh bitterness.
They've been too overly bitter, the Australian.
Yeah. I think so. That's ones.
Most of them. Some of them have been pretty juicy.
Yeah.
Like the Biggie Juice from Farrell.
Yeah, Biggie Juice.
That's like the juiciest one that I've ever had.
Or the East Coast, the collab between...
The Modus Brewed East Coast?
Yeah, the Modus Brewed East Coast.
The East Coast was pretty good as well.
Lupul and Fog from Akasha, which was a Gabs beer, I thought was really bloody good.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas there have been some that have been a bit too overly bitter, and they almost feel more like a hazy West Coast IPA rather than a, you know, more style. But no, but there's been some good ones. Yeah, the Feral Biggie Juice is probably my biggest.
That's probably my favorite so far.
I don't know if I've had that one yet. Was that was at Gabs, right?
That was
That was at Gabs, but they rebrewed it.
They,
as well.
Yeah, they brewed it for Good Beer Week, and then they rebrewed it in July.
Yeah,
and there was a limited release in New South Wales of that.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah. So how do new styles get added, Liam? What's the
So actually, yeah, because we were mentioning about we're going to talk about this subject. So I had a look through the BJCP, and they actually have like a user submission section. So they have a form you can download, and you can put a style into like a prospective list. And they also have a look yearly. Oh, I think it's about every year, every 2 years at the moment. They're updating the list, yep. And they'll add the last update. They added 3 or 4 styles.
Yeah, I think are mostly specialty IPAs.
This sounds very much like how they add new words to the dictionary.
It's exactly what it reminded me of, actually.
Yeah.
But they basically, because there are some catch-all categories like specialty beer.
Yeah.
And so they basically
and
will
fruit
look.
Beer and-
they'll go. They'll take a sample across some of the biggest competitions that use BJCP and look at what are the most subcategories of, in that specialty thing, and that sort of helps them look at what trends there are, and they'll go from there.
Oh, this is a good way to do
but
it.
But yeah, so basically, as a BJCP certified member, is it? Are you a member or what's the term, Adrian?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's lapsed.
Legend.
It's, but do you
yeah,
become
yeah,
a member?
Yeah, so certified beer judge or registered beer judge. I think
registered
is the
judge.
First level.
So when you're registered, you can then fill out this form to submit for a thing.
Yep.
And then they sort of look at that. They have a progressive list, and then they also look at the ones that are being most used towards that. And it's every couple of years they do an update, and then they'll pick the most viable ones and go forward from there.
Yeah, so, I think it was... So the recent updates, I think, was...
2015?
2015, but then before that, it was like 2008, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So really? It's not too often. Or maybe it was 2012.
When we take a break, I'll have a look at my phone.
But yeah, it's every like 3 or 4 years.
I've got the last two of them.
I've got the last two
as well.
Yeah. Oh, and we forgot to mention actually in the last episode, at least I know on the iPhone, and I'm fairly sure on Android as well, there is a BJCP app that has all the style guidelines on it.
There's a couple of them that are free.
Yeah. Because you can download them on the internet. Like, they're not hard to find, but the apps are really good because it's just...
You can get it for free as a PDF document, but the apps are the best way, particularly when you're out and about.
Yeah, because you can just, find it easily.
And I use it a lot when I was studying for Cicerone, because it's like, all right, say we got a Saison in front of us. So as I'm drinking it, I could bring up on my phone and look up what a Saison category was and sort of say, how to style is that beer?
Okay, so next time you're out at the pub and you've checked all your beers in and you're struggling with a conversation, get the BJCP app out and... You know, hours worth of fun chat.
Well, I mean, I sort of do it if I'm by myself.
Yeah.
But like, if there's a beer that I've had and it's like, if it's a style I don't really know.
Yep.
And I go, I'm liking this beer, and then you can have a look at the style. And you guys would have seen when you did your brown ale how sometimes you're having a beer in front of you is like, this is exactly what it's.
I'm
tasting exactly what this is describing.
Yeah. And sometimes you're like, well, I this shouldn't be the style. Like,
And it will say sometimes, you know, this beer shouldn't have overly hot bitterness or something like that. And you go, this one kind of does.
Yep.
It doesn't make the beer bad. It just makes it not the style.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's an important distinction to make. Not the style doesn't mean bad. It just means not to style.
And this is the thing about awards and beer awards, right? You're not judging a beer on its merits. You're judging your beer about how it fits in. Beer.
Yeah, right.
Because basically you have to pick a category and you're putting that beer towards that category and you're marked on how close to that category is this beer. So they will actually, if it's a BJCP, if that's what they're using, they will have the books out on the table and they can actually, the judges can reference that as they're judging.
And a gold medal is essentially, this is perfectly
a non-faulted to style beer.
And it's not necessarily good or bad. You won't necessarily like it, but it is to the specifications of the style guideline.
And there are some people who brew beers very well to style and they win a lot of awards.
Yeah.
There are some people who just brew awesome beers and they don't really fit into a box, but they're just awesome beers.
Yeah.
And they might not win awards or might not win many awards because that's just their thing.
Yeah,
because
they're not.
So just because what I'm saying is if you win an award or a gold, you're obviously making great beer. But if you're not winning or you're not entering,
it
doesn't mean you're a lesser brewery, just maybe not making beers to style. And that's, like we said before, there are people who do make beers to style and some that don't. So
it's interesting. I mean, we're questioning this whole idea of styles and how useful they are. How useful is it then to to actually have a judging and a competition against a particular style. If you actually are not necessarily rating the beer on the merit of the beer.
Then how much of it does it become just personal
taste?
Exactly.
That's the thing. The only way to kind of remove personal taste from the judging
is to give a criteria to judge against, right?
And you see things like, I think Crafty Pint do this well. They do the blind tastings. They're not necessarily doing it to style. That is their panel of
they
judges.
They pick a style,
but they're not necessarily rating the beers on how close to style they are, not whether they like them or not. They choose a panel who have varied tastes, and they all sort of vote and agree on what they like the most. And that's one way to do it, for sure. But I
don't think there is a correct way to do it. The awards are what they are, and I think there should be other informal things, and Hottest 100 or all these things are different.
Hottest 100 is one of those examples of just personal taste.
100%.
There's no style. Yeah.
Popular vote, right?
Yeah, it's popular.
And we've talked about it before. These people get upset because their triple IPA, that that's their favorite beer of all time, that was, you know, brewed by monks and dry hopped by nuns and in barrels for 13 years.
And two bottles are made.
Yeah, and they get upset when it doesn't win Hottest 100 because that's what they like. I was like, well, yeah, it's a popularity contest.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's the Hottest 100. It's a popularity contest.
Do you like that dry nun hop?
Dry hopped by nuns. Yeah.
That's the best beers. Yeah. I don't know about you guys.
That's all I drink these days.
Yeah. How about we take a break and get back to recommendations?
We should. But also, Brad, that was an awesome question, by the way. I really enjoyed that. It was good.
Sessionable. Keen to check out the beers of Sydney's northern beaches? Well, good news. Dave's Travel and Events Group now offer a Surry Hills pickup location for their Northern Exposure Tour. That means that not only will you get a behind-the-scenes look at great breweries like Modus Operandi and Four Pines, but you also won't have to worry about getting there and back, so you can have more than a few sneaky pints. Check out daves.com.au to book your tour today. Okay, back to the show. What are we drinking?
So this is another beer from Portland. I got this one sent over by some friendly people because it's nice and fresh.
Nice.
And
you said 2 weeks, was it?
Yeah, I think it's about 2 weeks.
Yeah, wow.
It got shipped in. So this is the Breakside, which is another awesome brewery from Portland, which I visited when I was over there. And this is their IPA.
Breakside IPA. I'm pretty sure I can see through it.
There are some IPAs that aren't hazy, Thomas.
What?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the west coast of the United States?
Where's that?
And I'm actually tasting some malt in there as well, which is a nice novelty.
This is what I think more of what they call over there a northwest IPA.
Okay.
Instead of a west coast, it's a northwest. So you're Pacific. Talking... Yeah.
So it's like it's a subset of West Coast.
Yeah, I've noticed this
more
a lot.
Like an Oregon.
Oregon, Seattle sort of a thing. Yeah. And I noticed this a lot when I was over there where they like, that's what they're calling their IPAs instead of, because they're not coastal, they're not West Coast. I mean, they're rogues on the coast, but
they're on the cold coast. Yeah.
But so they sort of call their, they've created their own style called a Northwest IPA. I did see Northwest Cloudy IPAs as another style.
That's interesting.
But yeah. So I think the big thing is about using Yakima and Willamette Valley hops.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Nice.
But a little bit touch more caramel than definitely a traditional West Coast IPA. Yeah,
picking up that caramel.
But I'm liking it.
Not really over the top, though.
No.
Which is good.
But still awesome hot character.
Still great.
Yeah. This is a really great tasty beer. Yeah.
Insanely fresh as well. That's great.
It is really fresh, yeah. And it's funny because I'm starting to notice a slight downturn in hops from when I had it 2 weeks ago. But it's still tasting amazing. It's a great beer.
So does that mean that caramel's getting stronger?
I just think the hops are losing a little bit of their bite, but it's like really small. It's still like, this is still fresher than any other IPA you'll get off the shelf.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like
places at the moment.
It's because it's got that malt evident in there. It almost makes it a little bit more like a UK style IPA.
So I believe,
a cross between a New World West Coast IPA and
it's
a UK
like a younger
IPA.
Generation UK style, because it's got that. It still has that big West Coast business, but it's just got a touch more of that caramel. Yeah.
A bit biscuity and a bit. Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, more biscuit than caramel. Yeah, but yeah. I just love the bottle. It says "Tastes like vinyl sounds."
Yeah, it's a cool bottle as well.
Yeah, another great beer I had from my trip and was lucky enough to get my hands on a couple of bottles of this sent back.
Nice one.
Some other beers.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that in.
Yeah. Yeah, cheers, man.
I've got a passion fruit sour from these guys I'll bring next time as well.
Yes. Nice. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So, recommendations.
How about we do a Beer Week recommendation first from all of us?
Every year after the Sessionable Live episode, which we're doing again this year, on the Monday night, Frankie's Pizza in the city.
I think everyone knows what Frankie's Pizza is. Yeah.
They do the collaboration coup, their annual collaboration coup, where they basically go around Australia and brew a beer with lots
of breweries. Jordan pretty much goes around for...
New Zealand last year. I'm not sure if they did this year. But yeah, they did New Zealand last year.
Last year was great. There was some really good beers in there.
There's usually some absolute crackers. So the
Sessionable tradition is after our episode, we always go to Frankie's
with Liam's mum.
Yeah, yep. My mum.
And was she only...
there? I don't think she was there. She was there last year?
No, she wasn't last year.
I don't think she came to the episode.
Yeah. Poor form. Yeah, she'll be keen to be back.
Yeah, right.
It's the only night of the year where they serve from glass.
Yeah. Which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Always.
Worth going there just for that, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's a Monday, so the house band's going to be on,
which is always fun.
It's always
great.
Love Frankie's house band.
Yeah, there'll probably be many shots of Buffalo Trace going around.
Thanks, Adrian. Yeah.
Oh, God, that night.
Make sure you get Tuesday off work, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm just thinking about that right now.
A bit harder for me to get Tuesday off work, but...
You're going to be hard at work all week.
Yeah.
So that's our sort of the Sydney Beer Week recommendation.
So I think every episode we're between now and Beer Week, we're going to recommend a feature event. That's a great one.
Yeah, I think so. It's always a highlight of the week.
And that one's not ticketed, right? You can just
rock up all day.
They'll probably have the beers on all week, I guess.
Yeah, they usually
normally do. Yeah, yeah, they normally have them on all week.
Yeah. So if you can't make it, hopefully you can make it with us. But if you can't, then check it out during the week.
But yeah, if you want to do the double header, come to the Sessionable Podcast and then come join us as we go to Frankie's afterwards, and you can buy my mum a beer. How's that?
Yeah.
All right, recommendations.
All right, so I'll just reiterate my one from earlier. Get some cloud water in your life and order some beers from the BrewDog website and get them shipped over in just a couple of days from the other side of the world.
Cool.
Tom, I believe you have a beer recommendation.
And it's also related.
What's your adjunct stout recommendation?
So this week the adjunct stout I'm recommending is the semi-skinned occultist from BrewDog.
Did it win gold
in its category?
Its category of milk, coffee, chocolate, vanilla, oatmeal, stout.
Yeah, that's right.
It did really well.
Yeah, it was a hotly contested category, that one.
No, I mean, this winter especially, I've just been on a sweet stout kick. I've really been loving it. And I've loved sweet dark beers for a long time. Ever since, I think, Temptress was my first. This one was really yummy. It wasn't as sort of syrupy as some other ones. It was actually a really nice how did my housemate describe it to me? He said it was just like a perfect dessert. Like, you know how some desserts can be really nice, light, but sweet.
Yeah.
But with all those flavors, it was just really, it was really good.
It's fabulous can art.
Oh, the can art
as well.
Is beautiful.
It's very un-BrewDog, isn't it?
It's one of the best I've ever seen, I think.
It almost looks like a garage project can, right?
Yeah, it does.
Cool. I didn't pick it as a BrewDog beer when I first saw that can. Because it's kind of different to their other
mad
ones.
Scientists, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm all for them going down that direction, actually, because
I like it better than their regular branding.
Yeah, because everyone kicked up a massive stink when they rebranded and that new branding came out, and everyone said, oh, you'll get used to it. I'm still not really used to it. I've gotten more used to it.
But I still call...
What does the semi-skin mean?
I don't know.
Is it you skim milk powder?
No, semi-skimmed is it's just like a level of fat that you leave on the milk.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
Semi-skimmed is like light milk. That's how they describe it in the UK. You have skimmed, semi-skimmed, and full cream.
Well, there you go.
So that's my beer recommendation.
Awesome.
Cool.
So I'm going to recommend... I had a can of the Motor Session IPA recently. Fun, great beer.
Cracker.
So that's my
Motor Session?
Motor Session IPA. So it's like their 4.2%.
Is that a new one?
Yeah, I remember seeing
that. They've done it a few times.
Yeah, they've done it a few times. It's reasonably new.
Just called Session IPA?
It's called Session IPA. Okay. I think it was part of their rebrand when they came out with a new core range. Yeah. So I think that's part of the core range. And it's just a really good session hoppy beer.
I'm going to look out for that.
Yep.
I'm kind of on a bit of a Session IPA kick at the moment.
Yeah,
nice one.
Because I can't go getting off my face, in the care of a young child. So Session IPAs are good for that.
Dropping babies is not a good look. Yeah.
It is like a bigger can, though, so just watch out for that.
So it's like just having a massive IPA, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Is this what percentage is it? Is it session for Motors or just a session?
4.2.
4.2.
Yeah, that's
nice.
Sounds
good.
I've been hanging around at Wayward, as I normally do a fair bit, and they've had a beer on tap which I absolutely love, which is the Flavor Fraise Saison, which is named after Fraser behind the bar and
delivery driver.
All around awesome dude.
Yeah, he's been at Wayward for since they opened up the brewery.
But it's if you've had any of the other Waywards or the La Petite Saison, which is very light and delicate.
Yep.
Yeah, this La Petite's more of a French saison, right?
Yeah, like, this is just a nice
peppery.
It's at the other end of the scale, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I love it. And yep. I was there yesterday, and I had one pint when I was there, and it was. Yeah.
I'm really pleased you recommended that. I feel a bit of a pressure not to just recommend Wayward every single time I'm on the pod. So I'm glad you said that.
But yeah, so that's my recommendation, and it's been on tap for a little while, and I'm sure it'll be around for, I'm hoping for a little bit more. Yeah. But if you like your saisons, definitely recommend it.
Nice,
sweet,
awesome. You got a non-beer, Brad?
Well, I could recommend a good nappy bin that's self-sealing and doesn't let the smell out. How's that? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'm sure we have some parents that are listening to this.
I don't think I've recommended this place before, but I might have done. If I do, you can scrub this out. But Acre Farm and Eatery.
I've never been.
I don't think you have, but yeah, Acre's great.
So it's in Camperdown. It's on the site of a former bowling club.
Yeah, it's Camperdown Bowling Club.
That's right. Great use of space. Mm-hmm. Great use of a former bowling club space. It's an urban farm. They grow all of their own vegetables and herbs and everything organically on site. And then they've got this eatery, which is... It kind of serves two purposes. During the day, it's a really kind of informal cafe type place, really popular with young families and stuff. Coffees and breakfast and stuff. Yep. So we bring go down there regularly now. Nice. Yeah. And then in the evening, it gets a lot more kind of formal, and they do these really nice kind of 3-course meals.
Yeah.
And you know, they've got real nice kind of mood lighting in there, candles on the tables, and the food is a really high standard. It's actually a really nice place to go.
So speaking of Wayward, they've done quite a lot of collabs with.
Yep. Correct. Yeah.
Because they're literally it's like a 5-minute walk away, right?
So on top of all the food, you can get...
rolled a keg from Wayward Beer once.
You can always get two different Wayward beers on tap down there. Generally, it's the Camperdown one, and at the moment, they've got one of their collabs on at the moment, organic which is the pale. Organic Pale / Golden Ale.
Yeah.
They've also got at least two or three other Wayward beers in bottles, and they generally have a couple of Young Henrys in bottles as well. Nice. So, so that's just a big bonus that you can get a good beer down there as well.
They're also doing a collaboration event with Wayward for Beer Week. They're doing a bigger station, which should be...
well worth checking out. Yeah. Honestly, well worth checking out.
Yeah, nice. Cool. I've walked past it and I was wondering what it was. So, cool.
Yeah, it's nice. My non-beer is season 3 of Rick and Morty.
You've been watching it.
It's so good.
I only discovered this show like a couple of months ago.
How good is it?
It's Pickle really
Rick
good.
Was the Pickle best. Rick was so good. In fact, that can just be my recommendation, the Pickle Rick Pickle episode. Rick. I've watched it a few times now, that episode.
So have you just started watching Rick and Morty?
Yeah, so I've only got through the first season so far. Yeah.
Okay.
I've watched nothing.
Season 1's really good. Yeah. Season 2 is amazing. Like, it's just... Every episode is like 10 out of 10. Yeah. And season 3 has been.
Season 3 has been really dark.
It's gone
really dark.
But I kind of like. I really enjoy that about Rick and Morty. It's funny. It's absurd. It's weird. It's really well animated. Like, it's some, you know, great detail. And then it's also just got this like raw, dark, emotional core to it.
Yeah.
I think Pickle Rick was an episode that like did that so well.
That's on Netflix, right?
It is.
It is on Netflix.
So we're up to date on Netflix.
Well, nice. I think we get the new episodes a week after the States get on Netflix.
I'm,
I think
I'm pretty sure I saw it like midweek, and they like because I think that comes out on Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Rick and Morty's really good. Yeah, Adrian, you should watch it.
Ants in Your Eyes Johnson is my favorite character. You haven't watched Rick and Morty, man? Oh.
I've seen like bits and pieces, and it's always like super weird and funny.
It is super weird.
Go from the start.
Yeah,
just do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just binge it. I think it does get a lot better. Like, I really like season 1, but after season 1, I kind of like didn't watch season 2, and then I just recently binged all of season 2 in like one night.
They like hit their stride.
I really think so. Season 1's very good though, and there's some really, really great episodes. But yeah,
season 1 was just really good shows.
Yeah,
and then season 2 kind of like
it became more
cohesive. I think.
Yeah, cool.
And it got more of that sort of emotion.
Yeah,
but it's really good.
I'm going to recommend a video game that I recently bought on sale on Steam, and you can get it on Xbox and PS4 as well, I'm pretty sure. And it's called The Witness, and it's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's a wordless puzzle game, so you're kind of just dropped into this world, you're given no instructions, and you kind of just have to figure out all the puzzles by yourself. And some of them are easy, and some of them are super fucking hard.
Mm, like the Crystal Maze.
Yeah, it's really cool. Check it out.
Nice.
Awesome. I'm going to recommend something that I know we've recommended before, but it's timely, and it's watch some fucking AFL, because we're up to the end of the season, and it's been, all round...
So good.
such a fucking awesome season.
I think
it's been the closest season ever. Yeah, really.
Would this have been the one that I could have got into then?
Yeah, and it's so we got one more round and then we're into finals. And
every game next week except for one, which is Brisbane v North Melbourne, matters to the
finals. Yeah.
It's still so up in the air.
And that one matters as to who gets the wooden spoon.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. That's so true.
Yeah. But obviously being a Swans fan and we're with one game to go, we are in the finals. Sorry, Adrian.
We got kicked out last week.
It's probably the season where I've watched most games that didn't include the Swans in it.
Because a lot of the games affect how the Swans go.
It's been
really good games.
Yeah.
It's also like this season's going to be the first season in a while that I don't have a team in the final, so it's going to be weird being in neutral.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who I'm going to barrack for.
Swans.
I mean, I barracked for them in the final last year, as bad as that was.
Yeah, well, you know,
wasn't.
I was one of the only neutrals that actually barracked for the Swans.
I know.
But yeah, it's gonna be a great final series.
Heaps of great.
Yeah,
Geelong, Adelaide. There's
some good sides. Yeah.
Great teams that I would support if Swans went in.
Yeah,
and there's like a logjam for the seventh and eighth spots at the moment.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of teams who could make it. And same for the top four. It's not set yet either. That fourth spot is up for grabs.
Yep.
Next week's going to be a big one.
Mm.
Awesome.
Right on.
Sweet. So thanks everyone for listening to today's episode.
Yep.
You can find us on Twitter at SessionablePod, Sessionable on Facebook, and you can find the website at sessionable.net.
And if you can, leave us a review on the Apple podcast store or whatever that's called now.
You can pretty much do a review on anything that you get, whatever service you're using, right?
Yeah. And on our website as well, we'd love for you, if you have any questions or have any, you know, topics you'd like discussed, our website has a contact form. Just go there.
Yeah, or contact us on Twitter or Facebook.
Facebook.
We'd love to hear from you. So
I saw also just a quick one that a few people really enjoyed the style.
Yeah,
the style roll.
Style
roulette. Which was cool. I saw some feedback about that. We will be back with that, but I think.
Because we're doing Fest Beer is the next one, and they're still on the way to the country.
Yeah, so we're going to hold off to they're available.
It's going to be soon. It's usually around the second week of September that they rock up in Australia. Yeah. So, it's nice and timely actually. That was a good roll of the dice.
Yeah.
And it's a style that's near and dear to my heart.
But yeah, so we'll be back with
Style Roulette sometime in the future. Yeah. Alrighty.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Till next time.
See ya.